Centuries later, he called it the Philosophia Ha'arura, right? The cursed philosophy. The Gaon of Vilna that the Rambam was involved with, as the Gra was, you know, very displeased with anything like that. Now, it was not uncommon for people who came from Spain, which is where the Rambam came from, to be learning philosophy. That was part of their culture. And a little later on, in the time of the Rashba and the Rush, there was a big discussion between those two very great men, the Rashba and the Rush, as to whether or not it was okay to learn philosophy. The Rashba was one of the Spanish Gedolei Hador, one of the Rishonim. He said it was. The Rush was from Germany. He said it's not. Two very different points of view. The Rush ended up leaving Germany because his life was in danger, and he moved to Spain. And the Rashba was very, very respectful of the Rush because they were both such great people. And they had this machlokas, and they came to an agreement. They reached an agreement as to, could you learn philosophy or not? And if I remember correctly, the agreement they came to was kind of a pshara, that if once you reached age 25, it was allowed, but not before that. So this was a major machlokas in their time, and there was upheaval, but the Rashba and the Rush came together and wrote a mutual agreement with guidelines as to how to learn philosophy. So this, this machlokas remained through the ages. Yeah, please, Golda. Please. Yes. Yes. Right, people who do not value Torah properly, and it's Talmidei Chachamim.
So, are we talking about 80% of the Israeli population?
So, I don't know the exact percentages, but it's a high number in Israel who are, you know, very secular.
Yes.
And, however, the chiluk I would make is this, that in terms of the thought itself and the ideas themselves, yes, it would be very disparaging to Torah v'lomdeha. At the same time, most of those people are tinok shenishba. Right? They're people who are considered, they never were exposed, even though they're living in Israel and raised in Israel, they never were exposed to Torah as it is. That's like a child taken captive as a baby and never growing up with anything Jewish. So even though in the Israeli public schools, right, they're learning about Purim and Pesach, and the Jewish holidays, because that's what they learn in their public schools. Unlike here in our public schools, they don't learn that, right? But they're not learning Torah. It's Jewish tradition, it's Jewish history, it's Jewish culture. In my opinion, that's still a tinok shenishba, right? The fact that a person who's a secular Jew knows that there's such a concept as Shabbat or Pesach, that does not make them not a tinok shenishba. They've never been exposed to true Jewish life. So yes, the thought, the ideas, the anti-nature of it would be apikorsis. Are the people apikorsim? They don't know enough about Judaism to be apikorsim. So the Chazon Ish writes that we don't have apikorsim in our time anymore because we don't have enough kedusha and enough hashra'as hashchina that a person can say, I'm against that. You have to have a certain amount of Torah knowledge that imbues the world and the Hashra'as Hashchina, and you have that and a person says, I'm against that, that's an apikoros. We don't have that anymore. It's so diluted and we're in Galus for so long, plus the fact that we have many people who simply have no idea even what it means to be a Jew. If they're fortunate enough to know they're Jewish, which a lot of our people aren't even that, they certainly don't know what it means to be a Jew. So, yes, it's really sad that we still have to contend with this. The saving grace is that we could say they don't really know any better. And I think for most of them that's true. Yes, I would not say that Eim Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. They're not true apikorsim. They're not really taking that position out of a place of knowledge. They're taking it out of a place of ignorance. That's not a true apikoros. Yeah. Yeah, please go.
What about someone who's, you know, they say off the derech who did have exposure to
Right. So, at what point, right? At what point do you say a person is an apikoros? Someone who was exposed to Torah, let's say, who went to yeshiva or Beis Yaakov, and then they went off the derech. So, can you call that person a tinok shenishba? Right. That's a subject of discussion. Some would say no, they're not a tinok shenishba. They spent years learning Torah. They lived in a Jewish home, in a frum home, and so that's, you know, that's an apikoros. I don't know that I would agree with that personally. Because my nena, I just don't agree with that. There are other things that are going on with people's lives that have to do with stress and conflict and inconsistencies and all kinds of things that they see and other horrible things that happen that unfortunately contribute to people going off the derech. I can't see that. In my mind, people certainly would agree with me, people would argue with me. I cannot really see that as a person who's a true apikoros. There are too many other factors that contribute to people going off the derech than just straight out apikoroses. Like they read Aristotle and all of a sudden they believed, oh, the Greeks are right, not the Jews, right? I mean, we don't have that anymore. Something happened. Yeah, it's not about that. Something happened in their life. They got hurt, they got rejected. You know, they slipped through the cracks, they're hurt. Chas v'shalom, they were abused. Like, things happen to people. For the most part, that's what's going on with people who are going off the derech. There's something that happened in their life. So to me, are they a tinok shenishba? I don't know. Are they an apikoros? Definitely not. Not in my mind. Yeah, please, Mrs. Fran.
At what point did real apikoros cease?
When did it stop, right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when that time was. Now, the Chazon Ish is already very current. That's our lifetime. And he says there are no more. You can't call somebody a true apikoros anymore. Chazon Ish died in around 1960. Right? So how far back are we going? It seems like when the Maskilim were around in Europe in the 1700s, 1800s, that the great people of those times were calling them apikorosim. But you have to remember that the Maskilim in general had extensive backgrounds in Torah. These were not just people who were unexposed. The Maskilim knew a lot. And that's why they were such a formidable force. And why the Malbim and Hosham and Raphael Hirsch and other great people marshaled many efforts to write in opposition to them. They were not lightweights. These were people who were very learned. So that's probably an apikoros. So are we talking about 200 years? You know, something like that? 100 years? Something like that.
I remember hearing about Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ludum, and Zatzal, yeah, who went to yeshiva with very brilliant people who
went out in Slobodka, right?
Yeah.
Back in Europe, and they went off.
They read, I don't know if it was Marx they were reading or more than Aristotle.
Right.
But
more the contemporary. It could be. It could be that. Certainly not a tinok shenishba, right? It was. And apikoros, seemingly, and I'm very hesitant because I didn't live, you know, in those years, and what they went through, I don't know, but that was much more of an intellectual rejection of Torah that they were going through.
Right, we don't have intellectuals, so we don't have that kind of...
We don't. No, we have different things that send people off. So, you know, socialism, communism, you know, all what they say, all the isms, right, that they had... in those times that brought people away. People were interested in those things. They were intellectually motivated. They were reading. They were involved. They saw the misery of Eastern European Jewish life and the poverty, and they wanted out. And these ways offered a way out. Obviously, as history shows, they didn't offer a way out at all, and they were all filled with their own levels of corruption, communism, socialism. But it took many years for that to play itself out. But in those years, people really believed there's some kind of liberation in these philosophies that will better the lives of Jews and Jewish people. That was what Maskilim were preaching. Yeah, please, Linda.
And yet, in light of that, you taught us when you were teaching us the Ramchal, and also I remember hearing it on a tape from Reverend Brand, that
yes. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chayek B'Olam
Haba. So, and I remember being shocked by that, because you say, on the one hand, you know, you can lose it, and on the other hand, you can't lose it. So, which is it?
It's So this is a subject of discussion, right? I think I mentioned before, the pre-tzaddik, Rav Tzadok HaKohen, he holds that the definitive statement is Kol Yisrael, Yeshlam Chela, L'olam Haba. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. That is the statement. Everything else just has to be understood properly. The Ramchal says that there are a few people that can lose their chelek in Olam Haba. There's such a thing. It's rare, but it could happen. He says that. The Mishnah here lists categories of people. So the question is, you know, does one truly fit this category? Do they not fit this category? So I can't make that decision, but those are some of the opinions out there. I'm more of the Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek L'Olam Haba mind. That's pretty much where I'm come out on this. Yes, Ilana, please.
Mm-hmm. Just like Ben Sora Mora, let's say, that never happened, but it's out there, right, in the Torah. So maybe this is similar, but his definition isn't making it seem like it's almost impossible.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. And it could be also, Ilana, that when he says apikorsim is a person who's mevazeh the Torah and lomdeha, that's one category. Then minim, which he says a little later on the top of our page, that's the second category. That's people who actually intellectually involve themselves in contradicting the Torah. This is people who are mevazeh Torah, mevazeh Talmidei Chachamim. It's not an intellectual point of view. The Torah is useless, Talmidei Chachamim are useless. That's one category. The other are people who write books, you know, of minus, of minus in order to reject the Torah, and they write about it, you know, extensively. I think that's the difference between these two categories.
But why include the first one when it's very vague and not so doesn't seem...
Yeah. Yeah, it has a very general sense. I don't know. I mean, that's how the Rambam understands it. Mevazeh Torah v'lomdeha. That is a very broad category. Who fits into it or not, I don't think I could honestly say a good, sound... qualification for it. Yeah. Yeah, please.
If this is off topic, it's fine, but in the meaning section in Shmona Esrei, I cringe a little bit, but I think there's something about...
destroying them, uprooting them, shattering them.
Well, yeah, but the to knowingly do an Avera, or to... I forgot the wording of it, but...
What, accidentally, mean?
No, not accidentally.
I mean, in the word of the bracha itself?
Yeah.
I can't see what it is.
Oh, so I'll yeah. Look it up.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
Okay. Because Zaydim are, you know, intentional sinners, which is the word that it says there.
Well, does that mean, like, someone who's consistently? Because I feel like it's not that uncommon that we have a moment of saying, like...
Oh, no, that's not what that talks about. Zaydim are people who are intentionally, consistently violating the Torah. That's like the word mazi, but it doesn't mean one isolated action. I mean, this is their point of view.
Okay.
Yeah, please, Mr.
I'm stuck on this.
Yeah.
Someone from Slobodka becomes the head of a conservative movement.
Uh-huh. L'chora would be an apikoros, L'chora, yeah. If you had those years in Slobodka, you know, and your Rosh Hashiva was altar of Slobodka, and you had that exposure, and then you went, you know, off, which, as Mrs. Fran said, many people did from those times, and became the head of a different branch of Judaism, L'chora, that would be an apikoros, L'chora. Okay. Top line there on page Kuflamid Hei. V'chein, Sefer Ben Sira. Likewise, the book of Ben Sira. V'hu hoyo ish shechiber sefarim. The Rambam says he was a person and he wrote books. Yesh bohem hatulim. There are many things there that are just frivolous, silly. Me'inyane hakoras panim, such as reading people's faces and recognizing who they are by looking at their face. The Rambam says that's silly. Ve'in bohem ta'am below to'elis. And these books have no true purpose and no true goal. There's nothing beneficial. I could say, using one of our words, the Rambam says, these are lightweights. People writing fluffy stuff in his time that had no real meaning. Elo ibud hazman b'hevel. All they do is waste a person's time with hevel, with futile pursuits. So he didn't hold these books in high regard. We have a lot of books around like that in our time. Kagon, Ela hasaforim hanimsoim etzel ho'arav misipure divre hayamim. Like, for example, many books which the Arabs have. Now, I don't know if he's referring to a particular person because he says ho'arav, or if he's talking about groups of people, there's no name mentioned here, having to do with their history, like the history of these people, v'hanhogas ha-malachim, and the conduct of their kings, of their royalty. So these are umos ha-olam, living in the times of the Rambam. They're writing their history, they're writing royal etiquette and royal manners and how they conduct themselves, v'yichusei ha-arviim, and the various relationships between different... It sounds like Arab peoples. I don't know what he's referring to here specifically. The Sifrei Hanigun, and then books of music. I'm going to explain that in a minute. The V'kayotzei bohen min hasforim, and similarly, books, She'ein bohem chachma veloto eles gufanis. There's no wisdom in these books, and there's nothing helpful for one's physical body. Elo ibud hazman bilvad. All they do is waste people's time. So what is the Rambam talking about? He talks about music. So one of the footnotes on the bottom says the Rambam is talking about something that was very prevalent in his time and our time, which are love songs. He's not talking love songs, romantic songs that was going on in the outside world in his time. So he's not talking about, you know, refined music. He's talking about self-indulgent or sensual, lewd lyrics in songs that the Rambam is saying, you know, stay away from that. Or if they're not lewd, they'd just be a waste of time. That's how one of the footnotes on the bottom describes it. That it these are songs that have either something improper in them, or at best, they're just kind of silly. There's even a song like that written by Paul McCartney called Just a Silly Love Song, right? Too bad that I know what that song is, right? Now, also, the Rambam says elsewhere, and we saw this, that a person who falls into depression or sadness should listen to music. That's one of the eights that he gives. Listen to music and look at beautiful pictures and go about amongst gardens and nature and help yourself feel better. So it's clearly stated that Rambam is not against music. He even suggests it for people who need to feel better about themselves or looking to have a little lift in life, and a lot of music is very uplifting. So that's one of the compelling statements in the Rambam himself, which leads some of the commentaries or notes on the Rambam. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about romantic, more self-indulgent lyrics in songs that he feels are not okay, or a waste of time. Now then the next category is v'halochesh al hamaka, a person who has no chelik in olam haba, one who whispers a certain incantation over somebody who's been wounded. Uvilvad birakika, and specifically when they spit. Now what's happening here is that they're using God's name in their incantation, and then they're spitting. That was part of whatever this thing was. So that person has no chelik in olam haba. Lefi sheyesh bazeh bizui laHashem yisparach, because this is extremely disrespectful for the Shem Hashem. So they're using God's name in this incantation as some kind of a refuah, and then they spit. That's a bizayon of Shem Hashem. Then the other thing the Mishnah says is vahahoge es Hashem ba'usi yosav yud ke vav ke. A person who says Hashem's name explicitly, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shehu Hashem HaMeforesh, which is God's explicit name, if a person who says that explicitly, Ein Lo Chelek Lo Olam Haba. So that's what the Mishnah says there in Sanhedrin after it says every Jew has a chelek in the world to come, but these don't. Now the Rambam adds, we'll finish up with this section here, Ukavar Zachru Devarim Zulasti Ela. There are other statements by the Chachamim about people who don't have the chelek in Olam Haba. Sha'osa osam ein lo chelek l'olam haba. So what are they? For example, Amru, they said, Hamalbin pene chavero barabim ein lo chelek l'olam haba. A person who embarrasses somebody else in public, they don't have a portion in the world to come. That's in Baba Metzia. It's a Gemara. Or, Vakori l'chavero bikinui. If you call your friend, your fellow human being, a nickname that they don't like, you have no chelik in Olam Haba. Well, pretty serious that, right? So you're referring to somebody in name, and you know they don't like that name, that's a very serious infraction. V'hamiskabed b'kolon chavero. This is brought down in many Sifrei Musar as well, more elaborately. A person who feels honor at another person's downfall. They fell, now I look better. They stumbled, they hit hard times, that makes me look really good. So hamiskabed, one who takes self-honor in the kolon, in the disgrace of other people, ein lo chelek la'olam haba. Now the Rambam concludes this part and he says, Lefi shelo ya'ase ma'ase me'ile. These last few things which we mentioned, embarrassing somebody or calling them a nickname that they don't like, or making one great through other people's disgrace, afal pi shehem averos kalos, kithi machsheves hachoshev, even though one would think these are less serious transgressions. This is not murder. This is not eating treif or violating Shabbos. So you might think, well, why are these ein lo chelek la'olam haba? Okay, the person said, somebody fell, now I feel greater. It's not menschlichkeit, it's a bad thing, it's a bad mida, but ein lo chelek la'olam haba? Or I called him a name he doesn't like. Okay, that's really not nice. I need to ask mechila, but ein lo chelek la'olam haba? Rambam is saying, well, why is that? He says, because a person would not do this ela ba'al nefesh gerua, but rather a person of extremely low character. She'ein ba shleimus, and they have no shleimus within their human character. Ve'ena ru'uya la'olam haba, and they're simply not worthy of olam haba. So it's somehow a reflection of something very base and low in that person that they have not taken care of, that they would do such things or treat other people so poorly, embarrassing them, or things like that. Now the Rambam concludes here. What we have to mention here, v'hu haroi mikol hamakomos, and this is the best place to mention it. She'ikur dosenu visodoseha shalosha asur yusodos, that the essential foundations of our religion are 13, and here the Rambam is going to list the shalosha esrei ikrim of the Rambam that we have in a very condensed form at the end of Shacharis in our Sidurim. Some people say them every day. This is the real source, what we're about to learn the next couple of weeks. Much more elaborate than what's in the Siddur, which is a very concise version of them. The 13 Ikrim that the Rambam writes now, this is the real source for it, and he's going to explain them much more thoroughly than what we have written in our Siddur. Now, someone asked regarding the semester. So officially it ends next week. There's one more class, but I'm going to add one more because I missed one when I was away. So we have two more weeks, Bezras Hashem, of Shir, and I'm hoping that we can cover most of the Yud Gimel Ikrim over the next 2 weeks. Maybe even all, but certainly most. Have a good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov. We should all be Zoch Hazayin to an Emes HaKabbalah Satorah. B'Lev Shalom.